I'm happy that you are joining us today. This is Pat, and I'm reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, May the 8th. From the front page, the needs assessment shows shortfall in county mental health services. Edith Brady Looney reporting. A new report on services available for DeWitt County residents with mental health, substance abuse, and developmental disabilities highlights multiple gaps in providing necessary services. The community needs assessment compiled by the Heritage Behavioral Services and the DeWitt County Community Mental Health Board through a collaboration with TriWest Group, a consultant working with Heritage Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinic in Decatur, was presented Tuesday to local stakeholders and community members at Vespasian Warner Public Library. We found that service needs are frequently more acute in DeWitt County than statewide, and resources are fewer. There is an urgent need to expand the types of services available locally and to strengthen coordination among the providers attending to the community's board behavioral health, economic, and environmental needs, the report notes in its executive summary. A total of 110 community members and 52 professionals responded to the survey on community needs. Data compiled for the 84-page assessment shows a wide range of unmet needs. 37% listed assistance with utilities, 33% listed affordable medication, 33% affordable housing, and 31% employment opportunities, and 27% rent or mortgage assistance. The rural nature of the county makes transportation to services difficult for many people, the report notes. Virtual services have helped lessen the impact of transportation issues, but not all residents have access to broadband services or lack the skills to benefit from those options. A lack of knowledge on where and how to access services, the costs and stigma attached to care, was also cited as a barrier to treatment. The need to increase access to mental health services was identified by 49% of the respondents to the survey, conducted over several months. Individuals with substance abuse disorders and co-occurring mental health needs, such as anxiety and depression, face significant service gaps, said the report. In a summary of the estimated prevalence of mental health and substance abuse conditions among county residents in a 12-month period, an estimated 670 adults have serious mental illness, and 2,190 residents ages 12 and over have substance abuse disorders. Among those who need substance abuse treatment, 83% of children and youth and 81% of adults do not receive those services, numbers that illustrate the highest level of unmet need, said the assessment. Substance use as defined in the report includes drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. Mental health providers in DeWitt County include Heritage Behavioral Health and the Warner Hospital and Health Services, which provided the data on the number of patients who visited the emergency room for behavioral health services. In 2025, the Heritage Clinic in Clinton served 602 individuals, with 94% receiving mental health services, 36% receiving psychiatric services, 7% substance abuse services, and 1% supportive housing services. The Clinton Hospital saw a steep increase in the number of people seeking an emergency room assistance between 2022 and 2023, before seeing a slight increase in 2024 and stabilizing in 2025 with about 240 individuals, according to behavioral health numbers. Diane Retz with TriWest told the audience Tuesday that the annual increase in the number of people coming to the local emergency department for mental health care shows a need to expand behavioral health resources. The emergency department is not designed to be the front door for behavioral health care, said Retz. Mary Garrison, president of the Heritage Behavioral Health, said Tuesday the agency is working towards an expansion of service in DeWitt County that would include mobile mental health service to outlying areas and crisis service. Among the key recommendations in the report is the need to expand coordination between mental health, substance abuse, and social services in the county. Among the agencies working to address gaps in the services in the DeWitt County Community Health Board, the board's executive director, Sharon Mills, said the board is starting its next strategic planning process and has opened applications for funding for mental health programs. And a companion column to that needs assessment is applications be accepted for mental health funding in June. The DeWitt County Mental Health Board is accepting applications for fiscal year 2027, beginning December the 1st, funding for mental health, substance abuse, and intellectual and developmental disability services and programs serving DeWitt County residents. Nonprofit and governmental organizations must submit applications online during the period between July 1st and July 2nd, 2026. Technical assistance sessions will be held on June 11th at 2 p.m. and June 24th at 10 a.m. via Zoom. Attendance is not required to apply. Board members will meet with applicants in July and August to review their applications. To express your intent to apply, request meeting links and a copy of fiscal year 2027 funding criteria and application procedures, and ask questions. Please contact Sharon Mills, Board Administrator, at smills@dewittcountymhb.com. That's smills@dewittcountymhb.com. And also from the front page, Gordon Woods reporting as resident questions the value of proposed housing development. A Clinton resident asked the City Council Tuesday to seriously scrutinize the Heartland Development System's proposal to build approximately 30 housing units in Clinton. The representative for Heartland addressed the council in March about a proposal to build single and multi-unit residences on Clinton's east side. Clinton resident Kelly Harvey told the council the development would not meet current housing needs in the city, in part because the estimated selling prices for the homes were out of reach for most people. Harvey said the estimated single-family prices for the proposed homes of between $295,000 and $315,000 were out of line with Clinton's median household income of about $62,000 a year. Duplex units estimated prices ranged from $300,000 to $400,000. She said those prices far exceeded the local median home value of $125,000 to $230,000. That means that these proposed homes will be roughly double to triple the value of a typical home in our community, Harvey said. Harvey also questioned the construction quality of the home's modular design and whether they would be durable long-term. She said local home sales figures showed homes in the proposed price ranges had limited appeal for buyers. Heartland would be able to take advantage of TIF, tax increment financing, benefits if the city is successful in implementing a new TIF district. In other business, the council approved the reappointments of City Clerk Cameron Wilford, City Attorney John Hoblett, City Treasurer Clint Lichtenwalter, and Public Works Administrator Steve Love, each for 1 year. The council also approved the reappointment of Lichtenwalter to the Police Commission and John Baker and Edith Brady Lunan to the Tree Commission. Commissioner Ken Buchanan said city crews who have been removing stumps will be back through neighborhoods completing that work. He said workers also would come through to take care of stumps that were missed the first time. Community Action, 60 years of service, open houses. The Community Action Partnership of Central Illinois, CAPCIL, is celebrating Community Action Month this May alongside a major milestone, 60 years of service to local communities. In honor of these occasions, CAPCIL will host open houses across its service area, inviting community members, local leaders, and partners to learn more about the agency's impact and services. For six decades, CAPCIL has been dedicated to helping people and families achieve stability and self-sufficiency through a wide range of programs and services. These open houses offer an opportunity for the public to see that work firsthand. What to expect at the open houses? Meet program representatives and learn about available services. Access program information and resources. Take guided tours of the CAPCIL facilities. Enjoy family-friendly activities, including activities for young children. Connect with staff and learn how CAPCIL is making a difference in your community. Programs represented may include Head Start and Early Head Start, Energy Services, LIHEAP and PIP, Weatherization, Community Services Block Grant, Foster Grandparent Services, and more. An open house is scheduled in DeWitt County at the DeWitt Outreach Office, 45 Cedar Square in Clinton, on May 11th from 4 to 6 p.m. We are incredibly proud to celebrate 60 years of service and the impact CAPCIL has made to our communities, said Jennifer DeWeese, CEO. These open houses are chances for us to open our doors, share our mission, and connect with the people we serve and our community partners. CAPCIL encourages community members, business leaders, and local officials to attend and see how the agency continues to empower individuals, strengthen families, and build stronger communities. For more information about CAPCIL and its services, please visit www.capcil.info or contact 217-732-7159. That's 217-732-2159. About CAPCIL, the Community Action Partnership of Central Illinois, CAPCIL, is a private, nonprofit organization established in 1966. CAPCIL provides a wide range of programs and services designed to reduce poverty, support self-sufficiency, and improve the quality of life for individuals and families across its six-county service area. In our news this morning, we have two obituaries. The first is Corla Ann Hagenbruck, that's spelled H-A-G-E-N-B-R-U-C-H, Urbana. Corla Ann Hagenbruck passed away peacefully on April the 27th at Carl Hospital, Urbana, Illinois, leaving a lasting impression of strength, faith, at selfless service and unwavering love. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, May the 23rd, 2026, at Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, 2602 West Bloomington Road in Champaign. And Kathy Jo Gentry, G-E-N-T-R-Y, of Clinton. Kathy Jo Gentry, 67, of Clinton, passed away at 1:08 a.m. on April the 27th at Goldwater Care in Clinton. Services will be conducted at a later date at the First Baptist Church of Clinton, with Pastor Jonathan Roberson officiating. The family has entrusted Calvert Funeral Home of Clinton with arrangements. Adams to give presentation at the May 12th genealogy meeting. Clinton, the May meeting of DeWitt County Genealogical Society will be held on May the 12th at 4 p.m. at Vespasian Warner Public Library in the lower level. Becky Adams will deliver a program on the first 100 years of the Clinton Square. She has researched the early buildings and businesses, and her presentation is sure to be an interesting one. The public is welcome to attend the program, and then the membership will hold its regular business meeting. Anyone who would like to attend virtually via Zoom should notify the Society at DeWittCGS@gmail.com by May 11th. Cleanup continues at Kiwanis Park. City Commissioner Dan Bellinger, Mayor Helen McAlessie, and Jessica Allhands volunteered on Saturday to continue the cleanup at Kiwanis Park. Allhands' two children were big helpers. Edith Brady Loney, not pictured, also volunteered with the crew to pick up the debris on the north side of the park. The city plans to complete a walking path from East Jefferson Street to the park when the project is complete. And there's a gorgeous picture here of beautiful green trees and the helpers, who all look very happy. And from the columns page, the Prairie Doc, Dr. Andrew Ellsworth. A bump in the crossroads of the body. When was the last time you thought about your neck? It's easy to overlook, but your neck is a remarkably busy place. It houses the spinal cord, carrying signals between your brain and the rest of the body. It allows food to travel from your mouth to your stomach. It delivers blood to your brain. It contains muscles that support and move your head, along with your vocal cords, thyroid, and parathyroid glands. In many ways, the neck is a crossroads of vital structures, and it can offer clues when something is not quite right elsewhere in the body. Take a moment and gently feel your neck. Become familiar with what is normal for you. If you notice a lump or something that does not feel right, it's worth paying attention. Many neck lumps are not dangerous. Some are simply swollen lymph nodes reacting to infection. A cold, flu, sinus infection, strep throat, dental issue, or even a skin infection can cause lymph nodes in the neck to enlarge. These typically improve over a couple of weeks as the body recovers. However, as with any area of the body, if you feel a new lump or bump, consider an appointment with your provider to have it examined. As a general rule, if a neck lump persists beyond 2 or 3 weeks in an adult, it should be evaluated. In children, lymph nodes may remain enlarged a bit longer and still be harmless, but in adults, persistence deserves a closer look. The feel of a lump can also provide clues. Lymph nodes from infection are often soft, movable, and a bit rubbery. In contrast, a hard, fixed, or rapidly growing lump is more concerning and should be checked promptly. Lumps that continue to enlarge or change over time also warrant evaluation. Other symptoms also matter. Fever, unexplained weight loss, night sweats, or difficulty swallowing are important signals that should not be ignored. Swelling in multiple areas of the body may suggest a more widespread process, such as some infections, or less commonly, a cancer like lymphoma. Another common finding is a thyroid nodule located in the front of the neck. These are fairly common and usually benign, but they are often evaluated with ultrasound to better understand their size and appearance and to determine if follow-up is needed. Some people experience a globus sensation, which is the feeling of something stuck in the throat when nothing is actually there. This can be related to acid reflux, post-nasal drip, muscle tension, or even stress and anxiety. Once again, persistent symptoms should be checked out. The bottom line is simple. If you notice a lump or bump in your neck, do not ignore it. While many causes are minor and temporary, some require further attention. When in doubt, have it evaluated. A quick check today can provide reassurance or catch something early when it matters the most. Dr. Andrew Ellsworth is a family medicine physician at Avira Medical Group, Brookings, in Brookings, South Dakota. He serves as one of the Prairie Doc volunteer hosts during its 24th season, providing health education based on science, built on trust. And another in the news. DeWitt and Logan County students benefit from NL Green Power donation. Clinton, the Challenger Learning Center at the Heartland Community College, has received a donation to support learning experiences for students in DeWitt and Logan counties. NL Green Power, an operator of wind energy facilities in Illinois, has donated $8,000 to the Challenger Learning Center to support science, technology, engineering, and math, known as STEM education, in Central Illinois. The funding will support hands-on field trip experiences for middle school students from DeWitt and Logan counties to participate in a STEM education mission at the Challenger Learning Center. At the center, 5th through 8th grade students will be transported to an immersive STEM environment and complete a simulated space mission and hands-on experiments that encourage critical thinking and teamwork. The money will also fund scholarship for students from low and reduced income households in Central Illinois. This donation will connect Eno's local energy presence to the next generation of students and educators in the counties where our wind farms operate, said Jesse Puckett, Director of Sustainability Projects and Community Affairs. This investment in our area youth reflects our commitment to creating shared value in the communities where we operate. Eno Green Power operates wind energy facilities in both DeWitt and Logan counties. The Alta Farms Wind Farm operates in DeWitt County, and the Hilltopper and Whitney Hill Wind Projects operate in Logan County near Mount Pulaski. The funding will also support teacher development focused on bringing renewable energy lessons back to classrooms. In 2025, Heartland's Challenger Learning Center received the National Arthur C. Clarke Award for Innovation in Education for the Kid Wind Renewable Energy Student Challenge, a project that engaged over 150 students in grade 4 to 12 to design, build, and test a model wind turbine. Challenger Learning Center provides a unique opportunity for students to explore and learn, said Dr. Julia Osler, director of Heartland's Challenger Learning Center. When students engage in hands-on experiments and simulations, they discover their confidence in doing STEM while also learning valuable skills to prepare for future success in a field they choose. And now in sports, 7 CHS student-athletes signed to play college sports. Mark Rogers reporting. This has been a banner year for senior Maroons Maroons athletes and college signings. The fall signing session had 10 seniors moving on to the next level of athletics and academia. This spring brought another 7 to the tables to sign to play sports and further their knowledge at various colleges. Carly Anderson is headed to Lincolnland College to play Logger basketball and study veterinary science. Keegan Daughtry is going to Luther College for football for the Norse and study ministry. Clara Dempsey will play Blackhawk basketball and study radiography. Following the first 3, Abel Koritz will compete on the Dutch track and field team at Central College in Iowa and study chemical engineering. Abby Moser will run track and field for the Carthage College Firebirds in Wisconsin and study nursing. John Smock, who will attend Concordia College, will play Falcon football and study exercise science. And Dylan Wright, who will attend Greenville University, will run track and field for the Panthers and study electrical engineering. It is a diverse group of student athletes this year who will move on to collegiate athletics. Reader's Letters. Thanks to the sponsors of America 250 at the Homestead. As DeWitt County, Illinois, and the nation commemorate America's 250th anniversary, the DeWitt County Museum Association wishes to publicly recognize and thank the generous individuals, families, businesses, and organizations who kindly step forward to help support America 250 at the Homestead, celebrating 250 years of American history. Their financial contributions play a vital role in enabling the C.H. Moore Homestead DeWitt County Museum to present a year-long series of special programs, presentations, gatherings, musical performances, and events which will bring people together to honor our shared history and celebrate the significance of this milestone year. With deep appreciation, we thank the following: The Wagon Wheel Pumpkin Farm, Save-A-Lot, Lance Schmid Auctions, Hammer Law, Calvert Funeral Home, DeWitt County Farm Bureau, Beta Sigma Phi, the George and Angela Williams Family, Two Hill Seed and Beef, Helen N. Wilson, DeWitt Savings Bank, Clinton Auto Auction Incorporated, Ken May, May Farm, established 1855, Clinton Family Dental, Ann Bellenge, Douglas Dodge, Floyd and Association, CPAs, Gail and Karen Goble, Ted's Garage, Sugg Enterprise, EMC Photography, Patrick Peterson of Three Ravens Graphics, an anonymous donor, Clinton Lake Vacation Rentals, the Ted and Ruth Lowers family, First State Bank and Trust, Philip and Ann Ribault, Heartland Bank and Trust Company, Thomas and D. Doherty, Pandemonium Studios, LLC, Stephen Nancy Stokowski, Moore and Warner Farm Real Estate, Kirby Foods, Milan Petro McDonald's Organization. For more information about America 250 at the Homestead events, call the museum at 217-935-6066 or find them on Facebook. With sincere gratitude, Joey Long, the Museum Director, and the DeWitt County Museum Association Board of Directors. The University of Illinois Extension in DeWitt County is offering Learn, Eat, and Live Well classes. One of them is Meal Planning Made Easy. Learn how to build nutritious meals that simplify your life and won't break the budget. This session is being held May the 14th at 10 a.m. at the Warner Wellness Center, 418 West South Street. It's free. Register by May the 12th at go.illinois.edu at Warner Meal Plan. Another class will be held on Serve It Safely, a non-restaurant food handler training session designed for volunteer organizations. And then there's also Dimensions of Wellness. That will be June 11th, and Fire and Flavor on July the 16th. And I'll leave you for this week wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day, which will be Sunday, and hope to have you back next week. Goodbye for now.